We're looking at Isaiah 43. Jacob had proved himself. He had reached the point of working to eliminate the false consciousness, the intruder. He had wrestled with it. And now the voice within is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And this is really the tree of life in you. This is the divine self in all of us saying, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. This is revealing the identity of I as your identity. Not the form you think is you, but the Spirit of God that is you. I have made him for my glory. In other words, I am the substance of your being. That which you call your being is the substance of God itself. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this? This is the household of spirit being assembled. All who know the truth of being, that I am the Spirit of God. And show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. This is speaking directly to that of you which can say, Amen. Yes, I know. For that voice is my voice. But look, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Now this Spirit, which is God, saying, beside me there is no Savior, was obviously the realization in Jesus, which enabled him to say, Why callest thou me Lord, Lord? Why callest thou me good? I speak not my doctrine, but his that sent me. I of mine own self can do nothing. He's revealing the non-reality of Jesus, isn't he? He is accepting that beside me there is no Savior. He is revealing that he is the Spirit of God. That there isn't the Spirit of God and Jesus. There is the Spirit of God seen through human eyes as Jesus. And there is the Spirit of God seen through human eyes as you. And that is the point. When you accept that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of you, you have come to that realization that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Jesus, which he accepted. And then you are not in the divided consciousness. Now, because he had accepted this, because he had died to self, because he could say now, all that stands here is the realized light of the Father. Then he would appear and he would say to the withered arm, stretch forth thine arm, and it would stretch forth, because there was no Jesus anymore saying this. There was no divided consciousness here looking at a divided consciousness there. There was one consciousness, one. I am the Lord thy God, and beside me there is no Savior. There was only one who accepted this. And so they said to him, how do you do all this? What's your big secret? Well, you could read it in Isaiah, and that's my secret. But if you don't want to read it there or don't understand it, I'll repeat it for you. So there are many places in here where he repeats it for us. My secret is that there is no me. There's only the Father. I have died. I'm not here. And if you know my name, you know that I am Christ. Who is Christ? Christ is yourself. But you haven't died to Joe, Smith, and Frank, and Harry. You've still got a second consciousness. Oh, come on, they say, tell us the real secret. You're only spoofing. In fact, it did worse than that. They chased him all over the hills and said, heal me, heal me, heal me. And he did. No sooner had he done it than he went away to pray. Here he was to teach them about God within themselves. And that was the last thing they wanted to know about. They wanted the healing. Let's look at some of the passages where he gives us his secret so that we indelibly know that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ did not occur as it is seen in the Bible. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ occurred when he died to self before his mission began. That's the real crucifixion. What you see in the Bible is the visible crucifixion, which is the result of the real crucifixion 3 years earlier. The real crucifixion of Jesus is 3 years before the physical crucifixion. When Jesus knows, I am not Jesus. I am the invisible Spirit of God. That is the crucifixion. And it makes possible the visible crucifixion. When you and I know, my name isn't Herbert, my name isn't William, my name isn't Frank, my name isn't Ruth. I am the Christ of God. And when this is an experience called crucifixion, you'll walk in the same appearing form. But later, 3 years later, or 10 or 15, you'll find there's no death possible. Because that crucifixion is also the first resurrection. It isn't earned lightly. It's earned through fidelity to removing the false consciousness. Because the only thing that's ever going to die is the false consciousness. When that's removed, what's going to die? What's going to get older? What's going to be limited? All that is remaining is the Christ consciousness. And that's why this is a difficult teaching, because if it were a simple one, we'd be much too satisfied, and we would not reach that level which is resurrection. There's probably very few places in this world where you can be presented with truth without tarnished half-truths. And if we were to watch this class dwindle down to two, this would still be the way this class would be conducted. There must be that uncompromising dedication to the complete truth that he showed when he would not accept at any moment anything on this earth unlike God as real. That must be our consciousness, you see. Anything on this earth that is unlike God cannot be real. Anything on this earth that is material is not spirit. That must be crossed out in your consciousness. The best way to do that is to cross out the consciousness itself, which entertains ideas that things unlike God can be real. And the death of that consciousness is the birth of the Christ consciousness. And that birth which the world celebrates on the 25th of December, in your consciousness, that is life eternal. It is the removal of all that is unlike God in you. And remember, after Jesus had removed all that was unlike God in him, he was still visible to the world. The world still saw the form. We still walk in a form when we have removed that which is unlike God from our consciousness. But the form we walk in is only an optical illusion. It's the illusion of the world mind, shared by all because all are part of the world mind. When the illusion dies, the reality doesn't die with it. The reality doesn't reincarnate. The reality doesn't feel pain. And though we may experience many dark moments in our pursuit of this reality now, those dark moments are nothing compared to the dark moments we eliminate, which would occur in a false human consciousness. You can even see pain now as an illusion if you carefully look at it. You know your arm has no intelligence. The arm doesn't know anything. You know it doesn't have any capacity to know it hurts or it doesn't hurt. The arm can't make up its mind to do something. What is the pain in an arm? It is your mind planted in such a way in your body that it announces, I pain. And we say the arm hurts. Or the mind plants itself in the foot and says, I hurt. And we say the foot hurts. But the pain isn't in the foot. It isn't in the arm. The pain is never in the body, it's in the mind. And that mind, transcended, has no capacity for pain anymore. We know that Jesus didn't suffer on the cross. There wasn't anybody there. Do you know how Isaiah died? Did you read the Apocrypha? The way Peter died, with his head down so that he wouldn't seem more important than Jesus with his head up. They took a wooden saw and they cut Isaiah in half with it. It says he was sawn in twain. And while he was sawn in twain, he was looking up. What is the meaning of all this? Is it to show us that these men could absorb great punishment? Do you see, it is to show us that they were not there. That false consciousness that I am living in a form had already been crucified. And when the visible physical crucifixion took place of Isaiah, Peter, Jesus, there was nobody there. There was no consciousness there. There was only world belief appearing. The self had already been found and was lived in. And that's the hard way, to find the self and to live in the self and only in the self. And so you see, there is a self that you are which is independent of the form. And that's the reason we see these strange crucifixions, to teach us that there is a self totally independent of the form, a true consciousness. God being all, God being the only consciousness, you can be sure that God consciousness is not in a crucified form. To come out of the false into the true is to come into the realization that my consciousness and God consciousness are the only one consciousness there is. And then the mind that finds pain in its own foot or head or something has been overcome. It's the false world mind appearing in us as the pains we feel. You see how sublime this teaching really is? It is showing us the false suffering of mankind, the false hates, the false lacks, the false fears, and the part we don't like to hear, the false lives. But we have to take the bad and the good and remember that we are weighing these things with a mind that is not the Christ mind. And when this mind has been transcended, the great teaching that came down through the ages, culminating in the birth of Jesus through Mary, and then the release from the false consciousness of the adult Jesus, and his walking in the Spirit on this earth as Spirit alone. All of this did not take place yesterday. For the Spirit that was released as the only consciousness is right here. It has never existed 2,000 years ago. It knows nothing of those years. It has ever been itself. That Spirit, which is your Spirit, has ever been a now Spirit. It walks the earth now, and there's no one else on this earth but that Spirit. It's the false consciousness of us that does not know this, and therefore cannot let itself dissolve into nothingness so that the self that I am alone stands where the world sees me. There are moments when you can almost feel that self. And then you realize why all power is in you. All health is in you. All life is in you. There is nothing else but that self. Only your false consciousness of another self brings about the ups and the downs of this world. Do you see that false consciousness then is this world, and the Spirit realized is my kingdom. Now there's a place in John where Jesus gives us this quite clearly. I think it's 14:10. I want you to look at it with me. It's his answer to, how did you do it? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. No self there other than the Father's self, and that no self other than the Father's self is the living consciousness that is there. It would be impossible for that consciousness not to reveal healings. Jesus couldn't withhold a healing. When you entered that consciousness, you entered the light. And your darkness disappeared because you were in the light. There wasn't any person healing. There was merely light realized walking the earth. And when you touched it, as the woman did with the blood problem, she just touched the light and the darkness disappeared. In him is no darkness at all. And when you realize that this light that you touch and darkness removes is the only light of your being, the only reality of you, you can see that the darkness of life is the second consciousness, which has no existence. We're crossing out the second consciousness, the breathing consciousness, the heart-beating consciousness, the thinking consciousness, and letting that stillness reveal that the fourth dimension is here, at hand, the kingdom within. Jesus then should represent to you your finished self, your undivided consciousness, walking this earth would accomplish exactly what he did. Your undivided consciousness is ready to do anything that was demonstrated through the undivided consciousness called Jesus. Another way to call it is the inner consciousness, the within consciousness, the spirit consciousness. But there's no other consciousness. How can there be another consciousness if all there is spirit? Anything else must be an illusion. Can you feel that? There's no other consciousness than the spirit consciousness? He did. Now the temptation then is to believe there is another consciousness. There is another power. There is another mind. There is another substance. And all of these are from world belief, conditioned mind. Do you see how you cross the zero point in your own experience before you emerge as a spiritual child again? You must cross the zero point. That's why it's the narrow way. The zero point is where you are unborn in order to be born. You cross out of third dimension into nothing and begin in fourth dimension as a child again, without any preconcepts, with no knowledge. And your father within leads you just as a child is being led. There was something interesting came about this father within. You may feel it as it came to me. It was when I requested some information on why I, being the spirit, should be conscious of my body and not someone else's body in the same way. I don't feed your body, I feed this body. But if I'm spirit, why do I have a partiality toward this form instead of someone else's form? I wanted to know more about that. And the answer was that we're given a body for a reason, even though it be illusory. And that is that we may begin to see that we have only one responsibility in this world. We must become a parent to this body. We must become the mother or the father of this body. It must become the child. And if you, for example, had a child to take care of now, who let's say was 7 or 8 years old, and the child went to school, you'd have to arrange your day in such a way that you would be available when the child needed you. You would have to teach the child. And your whole life would revolve around what that child required, as well as your own personal needs. Now you must realize that your body is your child. And out of it must grow a new you, a new you that trains this child. And this new you is yourself. The child is revealed as someone who needs training to learn who it is, what it is. And only as you take this child in hand to train it, does that new you come into realization. Now this child wants to do something, but the new you must tell this child, no, this is the way. And so this training is this new self arising out of this form, this new higher self which trains this child, and you become that higher self. That's where your self is realized. And you're overcoming this child, disciplining this child, until it no longer wags the dog, until it doesn't run off doing what it wants. It's responsive only to this higher self. And slowly the higher self, having trained the child, the higher self becomes conscious of itself. And you find that higher self can now drop the illusion of the child and realize that it functions completely in God, walks in God, thinks in God, lives in God. If you haven't reached this place where this form and this mind of you becomes the child of you, the higher self doesn't begin. Instead, this remains yourself when it actually isn't. Out of this must grow the higher self, just as out of the seed must grow the tree. And that's the first way you become aware of your higher self. Adam was your name on this earth before, but it was your false name. Christ always was your name, but Adam didn't know it. So Adam reincarnated again and again and again until this moment when Adam appears as you. But Christ is still the name that you ever were, and now Christ must show Adam. And then in Adam is born the Christ realization, and Adam is revealed as the Christ. And one stands on the field and the other is taken away. Christ stands revealed as yourself. Adam lives in time, space, body, mind, condition. Christ sees through all these. And when you crucify time, space, body, condition, with a nice friendly word called impersonalization, then those things which the mind finds difficult now will become easier. And a new order of intelligence will creep in. The senses are like petals. Nobody sees any visible power that opens the petals of a flower or closes them, but they open and they close in spite of the absence of a visible power. Your senses can be that way. In this level of consciousness, they have opened up. You can consciously fold them back. You can take the sense of vision and know that it can fold back just like the petal of a flower. You can take the sense of hearing and fold it back easily like the petal of a flower. You can go through the five senses until all of them are folded back like a flower. And you will find those five senses were your intelligence in this level, and when they're folded back quietly, your intelligence is no longer confined to this level. You find there's a level outside of this intelligence and a level under this intelligence, and all levels begin to flow because the infinite becomes your consciousness now that the petals of the senses are folded back. In that moment, you become no longer a finite intelligence or a finite experience or a finite being. The illusion that the five senses have opened in a limited degree of consciousness is overcome. And all of the infinite flows through you. And that's why we rest the senses so frequently. It takes us out of the limited consciousness. It opens the way for the fullness of your being. And now the light steals through with a new wisdom, a new teaching, a new idea, a new release. You become aware of the life that exists outside of your limited consciousness. You want more of it. You know, finally, you are poor. You're poor in the life that exists outside your limited consciousness, and you seek it. And this opens you to more and more of that spirit until it announces, I am thee. Now, I find it necessary to impersonalize just about everything in this world. And the more often you do it, the more often you will open yourself to the infinite consciousness instead of the limited, finite, five-sense consciousness. It's a luxury to sit back, to know that there is only one master, and that master is the infinite self, and it is present, it is all that is here. Only God, the infinite self, the divine spirit is here. I reject all else and rest in that. And I don't have to have something happen right then. That can be erasing karma in a lifetime 17 centuries ago. And the next meditation can erase some karma in a lifetime 12 centuries ago. You won't know about it right away. But the untruth that is erased will prevent the compounding of that untruth. And suddenly one day, all of these meditations seem to take fruit and root, and something in your present immediate experience that was undesirable is removed. Because you got way back to the seed of it in all the previous meditations, and now the world mind in that particular sequence in you has been blocked. Dissolved. Some more of the onion skins are peeled away. Some more of the light can come through the absence of the density. The new consciousness. The spirit that walked as Jesus was very careful to point out that we're not trying to change our concept of religion at all. That spirit was showing that there is no such thing as religion in spirit. Spirit knows nothing about religion. Spirit is perfect. Spiritual realization is not improving religion. Spiritual realization is to know that only spirit exists. There is no person to have a religion. Jesus created and formed no religions and made it clear, we don't want to take this religion and patch it up. We don't want to take an old garment and put a new patch on it from a new garment? This is a total change of consciousness. Total. A total rebirth. The old self is gone. The old self with its religion is gone. This is a living God. Not God and a religion. This is the living God of your being, your spiritual self. What need does God have for religion? Religion is for those who haven't found God. When you find God as the substance of your being, I and the Spirit are one. And the duality, which needs religion or philosophy or even metaphysics, that duality is gone. I am the truth. I am the Spirit. Do you see how duality is perpetuated by the belief that we need a religion? Do you see how that is the obstacle to the realization of the spiritual reality of being? I am the Lord thy God, and there is no Savior on the earth beside me. And then Jesus comes along and says, yes, and that's the narrow way. The flesh and blood of the Christ of your own being is the narrow way. Few there be that find it, for they all want external gods. They want an easy way. They are not ready to make the sacrifice of the false self. Between now and the 21st, which is next Sunday, you could be practicing this new way of impersonalizing, which is quite complete. And you can even add to it new ways to impersonalize beside the four major impersonalizations we have discussed. Never be limited by what you hear. There is a seed of infinite variety within you, ever teaching you, ever opening you up to itself. You can experiment infinitely. Each of us is going to bring forth then an individual expression of the Spirit. And you'll find we cannot duplicate each other. Spirit never repeats. Now, if you have sufficiently impersonalized this world, this century, this era, this place, and if nothing is happening other than Spirit itself, you will find you can stand in the midst of the world and its problems. Without the feeling that there's something you have to do to protect yourself, to improve yourself. And that's how you will know that you have come to the place where you have realized yourself. Because yourself never needs protection from this world. When you feel that vast stillness and all there is in this world cannot enter that stillness of your consciousness, you will know that something has happened of major importance. And then you won't be between two worlds anymore. You won't be the place where the spirit and the flesh conflict. You'll be walking in the only universe there is, but appearing to be in this world. And you'll know the difference. By your fruits you shall know the difference. You might say that what we have discussed is how to give the universe back to God, and that that is what was taught on this earth by the great leaders. How to give the universe back to the spirit of your own being. To step up one step from the belief that we came into this world empty-handed, and to recognize that we never came into this world at all. We have ever been the living spirit of God. It was necessary to go through this illusion of coming into the world in order to become self-aware, and it is still necessary. But the age of self-awareness is now upon us. And all of us who can learn to crucify that false sense of self will discover that we have learned the lesson of the Bible. We need not fear what mortal man can do to us. We need not fear the powers of this world or the illusions of this world, which are those powers. None of what we have discussed is beyond your reach. In fact, there will come a time when it will all seem like kindergarten. It is only strange now to our conditioned minds. The day will come when it will not be strange, when everyone will be born into this awareness, and they'll look back at us and think that we were some sort of obsolescent creatures to come to it so late. Today's newness is as old as yesterday's hat in just 24 hours. And as you get used to it, you look at yourself that was and say, how could I have been so slow in learning? You might even say this next week. Because once you get used to spiritual identity, it sort of sours you on everything else. Again, I want to express my gratitude for your presence, because we're going through a difficult time together, and all of the patience and understanding that you bring with you is more helpful than you can ever realize. But a new us is being born, And it takes everything that all of us are doing to effect that, to make it possible. So thank you very much. We have two more in this series, next week and the week after. I think that's right. And then we go into Joel's book, which I think will be an excellent way to pin down all that we have learned, to verify, confirm, and affirm the things that we have been doubtful about, so that we can walk with less of an uncertainty in this new way. Proving instead of talking. So it'll soon be our 1970th year, which will possibly be the birth of the Christ on this earth for many. Hope to see you next week, and if I don't, a very joyous Christmas to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.